The scriptures, this third Sunday in ordinary time, it's all about the preaching. Ezra gives a very long homily, very long sermon, and the people are crying out, amen, amen. Jesus, his homily is really just one sentence, and yet the people are astounded. We're going to break those both down. Ezra preached at the time of the end of the Babylonian exile. So we're going to put ourselves just more than five centuries before the birth of Jesus. He and Nehemiah were preaching to the people of the covenant as they were making their way back from exile, slaves in a foreign land. For 70 years, the Hebrews had been kicked out of Israel and Judah after a failed war against the Babylonians, present-day Iraq. Prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah warned God's chosen people that it was because of their own forgetfulness of God, God's will, God's word, and God's law, that he was not going to fight that battle for them as he had done so many times before, when little Israel with a little army was always able to prevail against its enemies because they were with God and God was with Israel. But in this case, because they did not honor him, he was not going to fight their wars for them. And thus it was, they lost, the temple was destroyed, everybody was carried off to be slaves in a foreign land, and they stayed there for generations. And just as it was forgetfulness of God that led them into that predicament in the first place, things did not improve while they were away. Not for those in exile, nor for those left behind. They became even more forgetful of God, to the extent where the young people of Ezra's time didn't really know that there was one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had not heard his word. They did not know his law. But just as the Babylonians conquered Israel and Judah, God chose the Persians, present Iran, to conquer the Babylonians for one purpose, to get the Israelites home again, to bring them back to the promised land. And they're setting about ambitious tasks of rebuilding their temple, their own homes, their lives, their livelihood. But it's the Persian king that sends the high priest Ezra to read the Jewish law, the Hebrew scriptures, to these people, and it is as if they've never heard it before, and for many they haven't. For many, this is the first time they've heard that there is one God, and that he has chosen them, and that he is with them, and that he has never left them, and he will never leave them. He's with them when they're at home. He's with them when they're in exile. This is why the people are weeping. Not only is they repent of the pagan idolatry that got them into this situation in the first place, but they're also weeping for joy because they know that they were never alone. They're not alone now. That God hears their pleading, their praying, and their cries. He is going to send a son to save them and set them free. And so that's why they cry out, amen, amen. Hebrew for, I believe this. They've heard it. They believe it. Now it's up to them to do something about it. And this was no brief sermon. Nehemiah tells us that Ezra started preaching at the break of day, and he went on to the middle of the day. Those people listened to that for 6 hours, but they would have listened for 6 days because they were hearing about hope in the face of despair, light in the face of darkness, life in the face of death. It was reminding them that they have an origin and they have a destiny. God's word has been inspiring people, convicting people, bringing people to repentance, to light, to truth, to hopefulness, and to eternal life for all these thousands of years. And then it all comes down to Jesus. We're at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Luke. Last Sunday, Jesus performed his first miracle. Now he has come back to Nazareth for the first time since his baptism. And the people are very curious because there's been all kinds of reports coming back to Nazareth about him. When he left, they thought he was the son of Joseph and Mary. As he returns, now they're hearing rumors that he may be the son of God. When he left, he was the carpenter's apprentice. Now there's talk of him being the Messiah, the fulfillment of all those prophecies of their Hebrew scriptures. And that is why they're so expectant that Jesus be the one chosen to step into the pulpit that Sabbath there in Nazareth to explain what's changed. Who is he? Where has he come from? What is he going to do? Jesus is happy to oblige. They give him the scroll and he reads from Isaiah chapter 61. It's all about him and he knows it. Isaiah chapter 61, that was written more than 700 years before Jesus came back to Nazareth. What does he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor, liberty to captives, to let the oppressed go free, to give sight to the blind. This is Jesus' inaugural address. He's just beginning his ministry, and he's letting people know that everything he's going to do has already been forecast, already been foretold by all those prophets that their ancestors had been persecuting and ridiculing and rejecting with stiff necks and hardened hearts for centuries. Jesus rolls it back up. He waves it in their face and said, "This, what you just heard, that's me. That's talking about me. The scripture passage is being fulfilled in your hearing." Two Sundays ago, when we celebrated the baptism of the Lord, God himself spoke from the heavens, identifying Jesus as his son. Now, in his inaugural address, Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, is telling people that he himself believes that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. He's explaining where he's come from. He's explaining where he's going, how he's going to get there, and who he wants to take along with him. Everybody. Everybody who is poor, everybody who is suffering, everybody who is hungry, everybody who is downtrodden, all those who feel so burdened by life. Jesus has come to seek and save the lost and to set people free. Those are his glad tidings to the poor and letting the oppressed go free, giving liberty to captives. He was doing it then. He's still doing it now. He's bringing all of us to the promised land, just as surely as Ezra was bringing God's chosen children back to his promised land. Now, the challenge is for us to hold on and wait till next Sunday, because the scriptures at Sunday Mass are broken into pieces and we're not hearing the whole story. Next Sunday, we're going to hear what Jesus says next, and we're going to hear the reaction of these people that have known him for 30 years, love him like a son, a brother, a cousin. They will be the first to turn on him, because there's just something about this that doesn't click for them. They've been waiting and praying for a Messiah for all these centuries, for their whole lives, but they refuse to believe that it could be one from their midst. And so they will reject him just as they rejected the prophets before him. People have been rejecting God, God's word, God's will for centuries. But we want to wake up and be like the people listening to Ezra, as if they're hearing it for the first time, and cry out, "Amen, amen, I believe this, and I will live by it."